The podcast episode you're about to listen to was created especially for you, a consenting adult, because this podcast is explicit and graphic. So, you on board? Consent, 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 consent? Okay, let's do it.
I've never fit, but I won't complain and I won't quit. I am enormous, get used to it. Everyone tells me I'm too much. Maybe it's just you're not enough for me. Can't you see? I'm the kind of woman I'm supposed to be.
Hi there, and welcome to the Body Storytelling Podcast. I am sexual folklorist Dixie Della Tour, and this is episode 89. Hi there, pervert. How you doing? I hope you're well. I wanted to let people know that if you are a storyteller who has pitched me a story for one of the upcoming shows in our five-city tour, that I am listening to story pitches right now and starting to get back to a few people, so just be patient. Hang on. I'll be back to you soon with some feedback. I just wanted to say that for the people who are probably waiting to know whether they're going to be on stage at Body Storytelling in one of our upcoming cities. But the thing I really want to talk to you about this week is the testicle, because this is the last week of the testicle. As a backstory, let me explain the testicle to you. Once upon a time, I found it impossible to figure out what city to bring Body to. I would have ravenous fans who would say, oh my God, if you came to our city, you have no idea how popular this thing would be. And then I'd get there and it would be those people, but not enough to be able to pay for the plane tickets and the venue rental and all of those things. And so it's been a total crapshoot. And then I came up with the idea for letting you guys tell me where to take the show by voting. If you buy a ticket to a show in that city, you have cast your vote. One ticket purchase equals one vote. And I figured if I got like 50 votes in a city, then that meant that that was a viable city, because we didn't even have a date for the show yet. We didn't have a venue. We just had passionate fans who really wanted to come to a live Body Storytelling. My podcast producer, Marty Garcia, named it the Testicle because it sounds like testicle. And that's his sense of humor, which is obviously your sense of humor, because I've had a lot of people laugh about that. So we named it, we put it out there, and we've confirmed several cities. But this week is the last week. So I've noticed that you start to vote on cities when I talk about those cities. So I'm going to talk about the cities that are up for the testicle this time. I'm going to say the names of cities. You're going to hear the name of your city. You are going to go to bodystorytelling.com/testicle and you're going to vote for your city, because we're in the final stretch. Okay. Testicle cities that are going on. Here are our cities: Denver, Atlanta, Cleveland, Dallas, Washington, D.C., Las Vegas, Boston, Minneapolis, Philadelphia. We've already confirmed through the testicle Chicago, New York, and Los Angeles. I can tell you right now, Boston, Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, and Atlanta are currently leading the pack, but that doesn't mean a damn thing. If you contact your friends and say, I love this show, I want to go to this show, I want to play bango, I want to sit there and listen to filthy stories with people just like me and not feel like I'm the only one, then you and your friends can get together, you can vote, and you can change everything. None of these cities have hit the magic number of 50 tickets yet, so nothing is confirmed. And I really want to confirm at least one more city, at least one more. So the deadline for this Monday night, September 23rd. That's the first day of fall. I've decided it's kind of a fall tour. I should make that the deadline. So go to bodystorytelling.com/testicle and you can tell me where to go next. This whole thing is a leap of faith. And I have faith that you want to go to a live body storytelling and we can hang out together. All right, let's do it. Don't forget, I want you to send me a recording of you telling me what you like about the Body Storytelling Podcast. It's really important that I hear your voice, and I am collecting audio recordings for a special project, but I need them soon. I've gotten several this week, and it's so much more real. It's like I'm connecting with you, and I get to hear what's going on in your life and hear a little bit of your story. But this is our point of connection, this podcast, so I want to hear what you think about body. If you don't know how to do a voice memo, it's simple. You have a phone that is capable of doing this. You go to the voice memo function, you hit record, and you talk to me. Just tell me what you're thinking. And then you take that, you hit upload, and you forward it to an email address, which is dixie@bodystorytelling.com. Send it as soon as you can, and pretty soon, you're going to have your earbuds in. And your own voice is going to be coming out. Isn't that going to be weird? That's going to be weird. Let's go for weird. I am so excited about the story that I have for you this episode. Because recently I was going through the backlog of stories that I have from so many years. And as I went through the annals of our many, many stories, I stumbled upon this incredible story from our 6-year anniversary show. And, you know, we're going on 13, so that's a while back. And it's also pretty close to how long it's been since we've had her in San Francisco, because she's moved away. And let me tell you about our storyteller. Nikki Hodgson is a journalist, broadcaster, and author living in London. She is a regular contributor to The Guardian, The Telegraph, and the BBC on sexual politics, technology, health, and dating. Nikki is a regular commentator on BBC Radio 2's and Channel 5's The Jeremy Vine Show, BBC R4 Women's Hour, and BBC World Service, and has written and presented 2 documentaries for BBC Radio. She reviews the papers and comments regularly for Sky News and makes frequent appearances in TV documentaries and debates on relationships, technology, and society. Recent credits include Newsnight and The Big Questions. She is the author of Bound to You, which she wrote in 6 weeks, and her latest book, The Curious History of Dating, From Jane Austen to Tinder, is published by Little Brown. That last book you can also get as an audiobook, and once you hear her voice, you're going to want to get that book on audiobook. This storyteller is Nikki Hodgson.
Fine. All right, you're going to have to manage my accent. I hope that's okay. I've been told off in rehearsal, but here we go. Well, so, where to begin? So he arrives at my house, and he opens his very large leather briefcase, and he slides it out. It's as big as a thesis. He puts it in my hands. And I start to rifle through this dossier that I've already been told about. It's a collection of hundreds of accounts of newspaper reports of women having cut off their partner's penises in fits of apoplexy. And he gives it to me, as he's told me he's going to, and I check that I've got the scissors right there on the table next to us. He wants to, of course, then enact play penectomy after I've read this material to him to stimulate him, and you know, we're all good to go, and I look at his face and he's there and he's quivering, and I just think, this is going to be a good night at work. So I've been a dominatrix for about 4 or 5 years. I mean, I'm not really a dominatrix, I'm really not. I mean, obviously I don't look like one, but I don't switch, so don't fucking ask me. But really, I'm a journalist. Like, I actually am a journalist. Like, I work for BBC and Sky News and things like that, and I go on and explain, like, France and Mali and other shit that I don't really understand, and I'm sure the viewers don't. But that's what I actually do for a real job. But the only problem is that I never get really paid for it. So, you know, I'd done all that the feminist gender studies bollocks at university. So I thought, well, I'm down with this sex work thing. I can do it. I'll try it out. I need to put my mouth where the money is, so to speak. So I try escorting a couple of times, but Jesus Christ, it's so boring. I mean, like, pussy and cock, cocky and pussy. And hey, look, this isn't an ideological thing, don't get me wrong, but I decide I would be better using my education if I became a dominatrix instead. So that's what I did. And it was a better use of my education, actually. But even that got boring, you know. I mean, all the clients are different and yet entirely the same. So it's, oh, please, mistress, I just want you to get like a fucking carrot and just jab it up my backside and then ride me like a little bitch around the room. Or, please, mistress, I just want you to get your nastiest, hottest, bestest friends and make them take my clothes off and just reduce me to nothing but a small penis. I've heard it all, honestly. Well, I thought I'd heard it all. That's the thing. So, when I get this email from this very polite-sounding, eloquent young man asking if I'll enact this scissor play with him and read all this penectomy material to him, I think, oh, why the hell not? Especially because it's December the 27th. You know that time of year that's when, you know, between Christmas and New Year, when Christmas is just desperate for New Year and New Year is completely contemptuous of Christmas. And you're poor and fat and there's nothing else to do. I know you know it. So so I decided, okay, I'm going to see him. What else am I going to do? We arrange. He's going to come for 8 o'clock and bring his dossier. And I just think, oh, whatever, another freak. Carry on, whatever. So he appears at my door. And my God, at that moment, I think there is a God. Because imagine David Bowie in Labyrinth without the wig and the frock coat, crossed with Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, plus just a smidgen of Victorian street urchin. And this is the most beautiful man that I've ever seen. And he's there at my door as a client. I don't know what to do. I'm just kind of like lavishing my eyes over his magnificent form, just going down from this kind of cobalt blue eyes that he has down his perfect planes of cheekbones, down his clavicle, down the wool coat, and noticing there's the briefcase, as he'd told me. So, come in, Sebastian. He's called Sebastian. And he crosses my threshold. We go into the bedroom, and I tell him to take his clothes off. Well, I actually say, you're wearing too many clothes, which is what I say to all of them, but this time I really, really mean it. So he starts to undress. And he's like some kind of veined pansy glowing in the light. I mean, just has the most delicious body. I've never seen anything like it. And the thing is, like, you know, the guys that normally come to me are sort of 40, 50-somethings, like with cracked heels and kind of like burgeoning paunch. And they think they're hot. They think that what we're doing is hot for both of us. And it never is. Like, it really isn't. Because, like I said, I'm not really a dominatrix. I'm just good at playing at it. And the problem now that I have is that, yes, I'm not really a dominatrix and I just want you to spank me or something. Like, how am I gonna hold this shit together? But I'm gonna have to because it's my job, isn't it? Safe, sane and consensual. That's it, I can do this. I can give this man what he wants. And then if he's a freak, isn't he? He's a freak. How can he be a freak when he's so freaking hot? But apparently he is. And so I ask him if he wants a glass of water or anything and he says no. And then I think, oh, he sounds like he's got an American accent. West Coast, maybe? Where are you from, Sebastian? Oh, San Francisco. San Francisco! You have to understand the San Franciscans that when you get one of you in London town with one of us, we think we're in for like the hottest, filthiest, nastiest, most fucked up night of our lives. Reputation precedes you. So I think, fucking San Francisco, what am I gonna do with this man? I gotta get it together, okay. I can't, no, what am I saying? He can't dominate me. I've got to dominate him. Right, just get on with it. So I decided I'm gonna get on with it. So I have the dossier in front of me and I start going through the material. And he's asked me just to respond in any way I see fit to the content therein. So I start to read it, and like I said, it's just a catalogue of stories of women cutting their partners' penises off, normally when the men have cheated, but sometimes just for random reasons, like dishes done inadequately and that kind of thing. And there's a particular concentration of these women in Thailand for some reason. So my first thought, being educated in that way that I mentioned earlier, is that this is clearly evidence of a kind of post-feminist, post-colonial situation going on, where the women are so frustrated about the fact that these Americans have come over and like fucked their daughters for a couple of dollars and sold their sisters to be Thai brides, they're taking it out on their own men. Clearly, obviously, right? And so I say this to him, and he's like, uh-huh, yeah, that sounds just like it. Uh-huh, that's perfect. And I'm thinking, wow, he's kind of smart, this guy. Do you have a PhD, Sebastian? Uh-huh, yeah, I really do. Just carry on, talk to me, tell me it, talk to me. So I carry on reading these stories to him. Oh, look, have you heard about this one? Can you believe it? This fucker ran off with her sister and was keeping two households going at the same time, and all the money was going between them. God, what a cunt. I would have fucking cut his penis off too. Don't you think he deserved to lose his penis, Sebastian? Yeah, I really do. Like, maybe you could show me what it would be like. So okay, that's my job, right? So I get the scissors and I've got to do this. And I put the scissors, well, no, first I grab hold of his balls and put the scissors round the base of his shaft and clamp very gently. I mean, they're not sharp, they're only kitchen scissors. And so he begins to just like, oh yeah, I can't bear to lose my penis. I know, because that'd be the worst thing ever, wouldn't it, Sebastian? Imagine what kind of man you'd be then. You wouldn't be any man, would you? You'd be no good to anyone, would you? You narcissistic little cunt. Ah! It's over so quickly, and there's cum everywhere, glinting on the scissor blades. I'm quite satisfied with myself, and my Jesus God, this man is so hot still. In fact, that was nearly sexy, I think, to myself. So he stays for 3 more hours and we talk about all manner of things. Maybe, I don't know what we talk about. David Bowie, maybe, I don't mention the lookalike on cats and that kind of stuff. And he leaves. And the next morning I ring my friend and I say, Gina, oh my God, I've met the most incredible man. Like, he's a client of mine and he's into scissor sex. And she goes, great. And leaves me to it. And for the next couple of months, I date this man. And he is beyond fuckery. He's the most fucked up fuck I have ever met in my entire life. He starts to dominate me. I get my due, fine. But the problem is that I'm falling heart-wrenchingly, unerringly in love with this person, and he doesn't give a shit about me. He's just using me. Because what's he got? He's got a dominatrix for free, right? Jesus Christ, his sex worker rang him up and was like, hey, do you want to go out sometime? And it's not £200 anymore? So of course he says yes. So, you know, a couple of months pass and I'm just like, my heart is literally just like splitting in two because he doesn't give a shit. And normally when we go on a date, he'll tell me about all the beautiful women in the room or like talk to me about the ones that he's fucked or the ones that he wants to. Like, and they're always dark haired and sort of pointy and like Indian or Arabic or something that I'm just never going to be. Like Queen Rhaenyra Jordan is his favourite. And to be honest, like, come on, look, I'm bisexual and I'm fucking, like, I'm an Orientalist pussy muncher as well. But like the point is that I mean, I've got Lahore.com on my bookmarks, look it up. But the point is that, like, I can't be this thing that he wants me to be. I can't even be it. He doesn't want me to be it. So I'm just kind of paralyzed with, like, misery when he starts to go on about laying Queen Rhaenyra down by candlelight. She doesn't fucking like scissor sex, Sebastian, I always say to him. This doesn't seem to matter to her. It matters to him or to her in his mind. Anyway, so I just decide, well, what am I going to do? How am I going to make this man fall in love with me? I know. I'm going to give him his ultimate fantasy. So, the next day, I go to the hardware store. I'm scanning the aisles. I'm going to see it when I... Yep, there we go. And I go to the scissor section, and there we have them. Poultry scissors. Have you ever seen these before? I know you know what they are. They have these immense blades like this and a beautiful safety catch which makes a horrible kind of wrenching sound when you take it off. And I just think, here you go, baby. Happy birthday, even if it is your birthday or whatever. So I ring him up and I arrange to meet him and I get to his house. And I've wrapped the scissors up in some like nice white paper and a red ribbon, which I thought was appropriate. And I hand them to him and he's like, what's this? And so I'm like, yeah, go on up. It's a nice little present for you. And he opens it and he just gulps, like visibly gulps. Are you you ready for this, Sebastian? I'm going to give you what you want. What are you talking about? You know what you fucking want, you twat. You've made me so fucking miserable. And now you're going to get your due. So we begin to play, but he's kind of like getting hot and he's in a kind of like cold sweat. I can see it in him and you know, this is just how it's going to be. So I grab him by the balls and put the scissors right round there, and they really are sharp and nasty, and kind of squeeze a little bit like that. And he's kind of like, he can't help himself. He's just like gyrating against the blades even now. Like, he's that much of a fucked up fuck. Why, Nikki? Why do you have to do this to me? Like, what have I done to you? Like, why do you have to do this to me? Why do you hate me so much? And I just want to shout, I don't fucking hate you, twat. I fucking love you. And this is why I'm doing it for you. Like, can you not see the irony in this horrible situation that we're in? But he can't. So we carry on, and I just keep telling him, like, you know, this is all yours. This is everything you ever wanted right here, right now, Sebastian. And I just grip a little bit tighter, and then there's blood. Yeah, there's blood. And I just take my hand off and grip a little bit more, and... Well, I don't cut his cock off, obviously, do I? Come on, you think I'd be here now? I mean, I have thought about pulling a big fraud to go to prison to write my novel, but, I mean, this is not the way. And I you know, I'd be some kind of, like, weird, like, feminist superhero, a bit like Valerie, what's that woman called? Yeah, I'm not going to mention her, but you know who I'm talking about. Anyway, so I decide, no, I'm not going to do that. And so instead I write a book about him, and I get my revenge that way. And then a couple of months later, I come to San Francisco to lay his ghost to rest. That's what I've told myself. And really to get myself laid as well. It always helps, right? But I do get myself laid, and with a very nice young man who's from Orange County, and he takes me out, and he takes me somewhere around here, and we fuck on the roof a number of times, and I've never found it since. But anyway, I'm still here with him now, so it's all good. But he tells me at the end of the night that he's got a fetish, and I think, oh God, here we go. And he says, yeah, I've got this fetish, and I can't really talk to anyone about it. And I'm like, okay, because I've already said that I'm a sex worker, blah, blah, blah. Everybody thinks they can confess everything to me, and I'll do it for them. And I say, it's fine, just go on. And I just think, I have to brace myself, like, another one off the list or whatever. And he just goes, I like feet. Feet. Feet! Is that all? Because I tell you something, I'm no fucking Queen Rania, but I have got perfect feet.
I am a sexless shepherd bred. I'll never prod where others tread with a head. A goose a moocha high, I can't imagine a hey, goose a measure. Oh, all the plums of Italy will never peel their bush for me with a hey. A beaver bash a high, a pubic poach a hey. Beaver, I poach a roo. Take it away, eunuchs. Flat, and not only that, I've got no balls to beat the bat with. Hey, stupid doodle, I bladder bagger. Hey, strudel, I beggaroo. My nose blows like an elephant snout. If only it were my trouser trout with a hey, a wiener peeler, I tater nailer. Hey, wiener, I nailaroo. The dames go chit, the dames go chat. I cannot wipe their welcome mats with hay. Squeezer, kneezer, use your imagination here. Hey, woo! John Dillinger had a 12-inch brick. It's fellas like him who make me sick with hay. Super drooper, I party pooper. Hey, super, I drooper do. Time has come to bid good riddance till the eunuch makes his next appearance with a hey. Fuck you, I fuck you, and I mean that with all my heart. On fuck you in your big wazoo.
That song was The Eunuch's Lament by David Massengill, Jack Hardy, Jeff Hardy, and Peter Tork. I've just created a bunch of brand new rewards for our Patreon supporters, and I want to seduce you into joining us on this mission too. We have changed the world by giving people a place to tell their stories. We need your help to keep this podcast going, and we've got some great rewards for you as thank yous. We've got new rewards like ad-free episodes. We've been doing that a couple weeks now. We've got reserved tickets to live body storytelling shows, story coaching sessions, me, you, in a group or private session. I can even create a special body storytelling just for you and your friends, a special live show. And when we hit our next patron goal, I'm going to do an AMA and Ask Me Anything, and you'll be invited to it. And when we hit our next financial goal, I'll create longer story-packed episodes of this podcast. You know that you love this thing because you're listening to it right now. This is your chance to change people's lives and to support something you believe in. You are the final piece to the puzzle. It's all coming together, and all we're missing is you. So go to patreon.com/body, that's spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N.com. Check out the new Patreon rewards. Choose a level to support us at, click it, and be part of the family. Thanks in advance for your help. You and me, sipping a unicorn's butthole, playing bango. You hand me your card, I'll hand you mine. We'll answer questions for each other, and who knows, you might win a giant prize package from kink.com. That's what happens at a live body storytelling. And now I'm going to tell you about upcoming shows and where you can come see us. On Wednesday, September 25th in Seattle, the theme is Hurts So Good. That's at the Rebar Seattle, and that's next week, y'all. So if you don't have your tickets yet for Seattle, do it as soon as possible. This is my first show back since July. Holy shit. Sunday, September 29th, we are holding a special post-Folsom Street Fair show It has Melena Williams Haas flying in from New York. It's got musical wunderkind. Is that a word that people from the South should say? Probably not. She's amazing. We've got Rachel Lark as our musical act. We have incredible storytellers for this one. Plus, we're bringing out the games. You can win a Sibian. There's so much going on in this show. And I can tell you, we're getting really close to sold out on this show. So if you're going to get your tickets, I advise you to get reserved seating, because you're going to be walking around at Folsom Street Fair all day and you're going to want a chair for your butt. So get reserved right up front. Something special is going to happen at that show. Let's talk about the cities that were brought to you by the testicle. On Thursday, October 3rd, Body Storytelling returns to Los Angeles. That show is going to be at Busby's East on Wilshire, and tickets are selling fast for that one too. Friday, October 18th in Chicago, we are doing a show. It's been years since we've been to Chicago. We are going to Avondale Music Hall. Tickets are available on eTix, and of course, they're on the Body Storytelling website. And then on Wednesday, October 30th in New York, at Chelsea Music Hall. We are doing a show in New York, and it has been way too long. You voted, you told us you want us there, and it's the night before Halloween, so feel free to wear a costume. Tickets for all of these shows are on our website, and you can look in the show notes for this episode to find links. And if you want to pitch me a story for any of those shows, send a voice memo recording of you telling the whole story to dixie@bodystorytelling.com. Be sure to let me know what city you're pitching for. I can't wait to hear your story. Oh, man, it's over. You know, if you liked this episode, if you like any of the episodes, if you have feedback for me, constructive criticism, I want to hear it. On social media, everything is in the show notes for how to contact us. I want to know what you think. Emails to me are even better. dixie@bodystorytelling.com. Because podcasting, for me, is a conversation. It's not me talking into a microphone while my St. Bernard stares at me like I'm nuts. It makes me self-conscious. So I want to hear from you. Thanks in advance for doing that, for reviewing us, for telling a friend, all of the things that I ask you for every single episode. Let's say thank you. Thank you to podcast producer Marty Garcia. Holy shit, isn't he amazing? Thank you to sound engineer David Grossoff, to video archivist Joe Moore, to project manager Dana Hanna. Thanks to you. Thanks for listening. We'll be back really soon with the next episode of the Body Storytelling Podcast. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour, and here's a peek at what's next.
Then I got really horny after a couple weeks because I wasn't getting laid anymore, and I decided to get out of bed, go take a shower, walk outside with some lowered standards, and slowly form a small harem of lovers.